All right, let's dive right into something genuinely cool today. We're talking about building your own AI email agent using a low-code tool. We've been digging into some material that, well, it lays out pretty clearly how you can automate sending emails, but with an AI brain behind it, so you can just, you know, tell it what to do in plain English.
Yeah, and it's pretty compelling when you see the example they give. You just say, send an email to Phil asking what's up, and boom, it does it.
Finds the email address and everything.
Exactly. It shows that these AI agents, they might sound super complex, but you can actually build them by connecting simpler parts together, especially with tools like N8N, this low-code platform.
Right. N8N is kind of the glue here. It lets you visually link up an AI model with specific tools, things the agent can actually do, like finding data or, well, sending that email.
And that visual low-code aspect is really key, I think. It makes the stuff much more accessible than it used to be.
So what's our mission then for this deep dive?
Okay, so we want to unpack how this agent is built based on the guide we looked at. There are basically three core workflows, three main pieces. We'll walk through them, but really focus on the tricky bits, the details that can trip you up.
Yeah, the potential stumbling blocks. Less about clicking every single button, more about understanding why it's set up that way.
Precisely. Understanding the architecture.
Perfect. Okay, let's kick off with that first piece. The foundation, really. If the agent needs to use your info like contacts, it has to be able to get that info somehow.
Exactly. So the first big workflow the material covers is all about getting your contact data ready. In their example, it starts in a Google Doc, just raw info.
And the goal is to get into something the AI can search effectively.
Right. They push it into what's called a vector database. Pinecone is the specific one used.
Pinecone. Okay. Why a vector database?
Well, think of it like a special library for AI. It stores information not just as text, but as numerical representations vectors that capture the meaning. So the AI can search for concepts, not just exact words, much smarter searching.
Makes sense. But first, you got to get the data out of the Google Doc.
Yep. So the first NAN workflow starts with a manual trigger. You just click a button to run it, basically to load the data initially.
Then you connect to Google Docs using a Get a Document node. Seems straightforward enough.
Well, this is actually the first potential hurdle the guide really flags, setting up credentials for cloud services like Google.
Ah, right. Not just username and password.
No. You have to go into the Google Cloud Console, create credentials, get things like a client ID and a client secret, and you need to set up what's called an OAuth2 consent screen.
OAuth2? That sounds...
It is a bit fiddly. It's basically how you grant permission securely for NAN to access your Google stuff. You often need to add specific test users or maybe even publish the app you're creating in Google Cloud. And critically, you need to copy the correct redirect URL from NAN back into your Google Cloud setup.
Okay, so that redirect URL is key. The guide mentions this is a common spot for errors.
Definitely. It's easy to mess up and then the connection just won't work. So nailing down those credentials is step one. Once that's done, you use the Google Docs ID, you know, from its web address to tell the node which specific document to grab.
Got it. So credentials sorted, data pulled from the doc, now getting it ready for Pinecone.
Right. The text needs some processing first. The guide mentions a couple of steps here. One is using something called a token splitter.
Token splitter? What's that doing?
Good question. So the AI isn't going to search the whole document at once, especially if it's long. The token splitter breaks the text down into smaller, more manageable pieces or chunks.
Chunks of text.
Yeah, maybe like 200 characters each, based on the example. The AI will search through these individual chunks later. It's much more efficient.
Okay, chunking the data makes sense. And then comes the vector part of the vector database.
Exactly. Embedding. This is where the magic happens. You use an AI language model, in this case, an OpenAI embedding node, to turn each of those text chunks into a list of numbers, a vector.
So text becomes numbers that represent meaning.
You got it. And the Pinecone database stores these vectors. Later, when the agent wants to search, it takes its question, turns that into a vector using the same model, and Pinecone finds the vectors in the database that are mathematically closest.
Clever. So you add the OpenAI embedding node. Any catches here?
Oh, yes. A huge one the guide really emphasizes. You need OpenAI API credentials, obviously. But the critical thing is the specific embedding model you choose. In this node, the example uses text embedding 3 small.
Okay.
That model must exactly match the model configuration you selected when you first set up your index in Pinecone itself.
Ah, so the model used to create the vectors has to be the same one used to search the vectors later.
Precisely. If they're mismatched, the math just doesn't work. the agent won't find anything, even if your data is perfect. It's a really easy mistake to make, apparently, and a major source of frustration.
Wow, okay. That's a super important detail. So that first workflow, get data, handle credentials, chunk it, embed it with the right model, load it into Pinecone, data foundation built.
Exactly. Now, the agent has its knowledge base, but it also needs to do things. It needs tools.
Like sending an email.
Right. So the second workflow the material describes is building that specific capability, the send email tool.
Okay, workflow number two. And this one isn't triggered manually.
Correct. Its trigger is when called by another workflow. It's designed to be activated by the main agent workflow whenever the agent decides it needs to send an email. Think of it as a function the agent can call.
Makes sense. Modular. And inside this workflow, the key node is?
A Gmail node, naturally, set to send a message.
And I'm guessing more credentials.
You guessed it. Similar process to Google Docs, client ID, client secret, OAuth consent screen in Google Cloud, getting the permissions, right? It's the same kind of setup hurdle.
Seems like dealing with API credentials is just part of the game when you connect different services.
It really is. Now, the clever bit here, as the guide points out, is how you handle the email details, who it's going to, the subject, the message.
They can't be fixed, right? They depend on the instruction.
Exactly. So they are set up as expressions in the Gmail node. Think of them as variables waiting to be filled in.
Okay, variables. But how does the agent's instruction, like email Phil about lunch, get turned into the specific values for to, Phil, subject, lunch, message?
Ah, this is where AI gets used inside the tool itself. You add an OpenAI node before the Gmail node in this workflow.
Wait, another OpenAI node, not the main agent brain.
Nope. This one has a very specific, limited job. It's like a specialized assistant just for this email tool. Its purpose is to parse the instruction that the main agent passes over.
Parse it, like break it down.
Exactly. You give this OpenAI node a prompt, something like, you will receive a user's request to send an email, extract the recipient, subject, and message body, output these parameters clearly as JSON.
And the agent's original command, email Phil, is fed into this parsing node.
Yes, as the input query. And now, here comes another really crucial troubleshooting tip highlighted in the material.
Okay, ready.
When you connect that input query from the main agent to this parsing node, you have to wrap it in JSON.stringify.
JSON.stringify, why?
Because, apparently, the input from the agent comes across as a complex data object, but this specific OpenAI parsing setup expects a simple text string. If you don't use JSON.stringify, it errors out saying something like, expected string but received an object.
Ouch. That sounds incredibly specific and easy to miss.
Totally. The guide calls it out specifically because it's a common thing that stops the whole process. Adding JSON.stringify converts the input object into the simple text string the node needs. It's a lifesaver tip.
Good to know. Okay, so wrap the input in JSON.stringify. The OpenAI node parses it, outputs the structured JSON like to subject message. Then you just connect those outputs
to the corresponding variable fields in the Gmail node. Map the parse to the Gmail, to subject, etc. Then the Gmail node has everything it needs.
Brilliant. And the guide mentions one last node in this email tool workflow, a set node.
Yeah, that's right. It's quite simple. Its purpose is just to create a defined output for this workflow. For example, it might create a text variable called response and set its value to email successfully sent.
And why is that needed?
It's feedback. This output goes back to the main agent workflow that called the tool. It's how the email tool signals job done back to the agent, so the agent knows the task was completed and can report back to you.
Got it. A little confirmation signal. All right, so we have workflow one, getting data ready in Pinecone. Workflow two, the email sending tool with its own internal parser. Now for the main event.
The main event. Workflow three. The agent itself. The brain. The orchestrator.
This is the one that listens to my command.
Exactly. The trigger is on chat message. You type your request. This workflow wakes up.
And the core node is the agent node.
Yes. Specifically, a tools agent node, as the guy calls it. This is where the main reasoning happens. You connect it to a powerful chat model, like OpenAI's GPT-4 is recommended, to act as the agent's thinking engine.
Makes sense. And the really critical part of setting up this agent node is
telling it about the tools it has available. You have to explicitly define its capabilities.
So you connect the workflows we just built.
Precisely. You add an end-to-end workflow tool. You point it to the send email workflow. And importantly, you give it a good description in natural language.
Like
something clear, like use this tool whenever the user asks you to send an email. This description is vital. It's how the AI model understands when it should use this specific tool. You also define the inputs it expects, the two subject message parameters that the parsing node inside the tool needs.
Okay. Define the tool, describe it well, and you add the data tool too.
Yep. You add a vector store tool. You connect this to the Pinecone database we prepared earlier. Again, a clear description is needed. Use this tool to look up information about contacts like their email addresses. Link it to the correct Pinecone index and the namespace you used.
And let me guess, something about embeddings.
You're learning, yes. You absolutely must configure an embedding node within this vector store tool definition in the agent workflow, and it has to use the exact same OpenAI embedding model, text embedding 3 small in the example, that you used back in workflow 1 when you first loaded the data.
So the model for loading data, the model for searching data within the agent, they all have to match.
Triple match. If any of them are different, the search fails. It's that critical consistency point again.
Okay, agent has its brain, chat model, knows its tools, email sender, data lookup, and the embedding models match. What else does the agent need?
The instruction manual. This is the agent's system message or its main prompt. It's probably the most crucial configuration piece overall.
The prompt. What goes in there?
Everything. You tell the agent its personality, you are a helpful assistant, its goal, its context, any rules it should follow, and critically, you provide detailed information about its tools and the parameters they expect. It needs to understand its capabilities inside out.
And the guide had a really interesting point about this prompt, didn't it? About a failure.
Yes. It's a great learning moment. The initial test run of the whole system failed, not because of a technical bug, but because this main agent prompt was missing or too basic.
So the agent was connected to the tools, but didn't know what to do.
Exactly. It had the components, but no instructions. The guide really stresses how vital a comprehensive, well-structured prompt is. They even mention using another AI to help generate a detailed prompt that properly explained the context, the agent's role, and the specifics of how to use the email and vector store tools, including their parameters.
That really drives home the point that prompting is almost as important as the technical connections.
It absolutely is. The prompt guides the AI's reasoning process.
Okay, so let's put it all together. The example. Send an email to Phil Dumpy asking if he wants to get lunch. How does the fully configured agent handle that?
Right. So your message hits the agent workflow. The GPT-4 brain, guided by the system prompt, analyzes the request. It thinks, okay, the user wants an email sent. I need Phil's email address first. Ah, I have a vector store tool for looking up contacts.
So it activates the vector store tool.
Yep. It formulates a search query for Phil Dumpy, converts it to a vector using the correct embedding model, and queries Pinecone. Pinecone finds the matching vector chunk and returns Phil's contact info, including his email.
Got the email. Now what?
The agent thinks, okay, got the email address. Now I need to send the email. I have a send email tool for that. It calls the send email workflow, passing along your original instruction, maybe refined slightly, and the email address it just found.
And inside the email tool?
That dedicated OpenAI parsing node kicks in. It takes the instruction, maybe something like send email to phil@example.com about lunch, wraps it in json.stringify, parses it to extract to.phil@example.com, subject, lunch, message. Hey, Phil, want to grab lunch?
Which then feeds the Gmail node.
Exactly. The Gmail node sends the email using those parse details. Then the set node at the end of the email tool sends back the email sent signal to the main agent.
And finally, the agent tells me.
Okay, I've sent that email about lunch to Phil Dumpy. Task complete.
Wow. Okay, when you break it down like that, it's a sequence of logical steps orchestrated by the AI using the tools and data provided. That's really cool.
It is cool. And what this deep dive really shows is how you can build this kind of intelligent automation yourself without needing to be, you know, a hardcore programmer. Tools like NNN make connecting the dots visually much easier.
Yeah, it boils down to those key pieces. Having your data ready and searchable, building specific action tools, and then the main agent workflow connecting them, all guided by really good, clear instructions in the prompt.
And even this simple email example shows the power, right? The agent isn't just following a script, it's understanding your request in natural language and figuring out the steps to take using the resources it has.
That was a fantastic deep dive, seriously. We saw how crucial prepping data in a vector DB is, how to build those modular tool workflows, especially that parsing step and the json.stringify fix, and how the main agent uses prompts and tool descriptions to orchestrate everything, plus those vital details about credentials and matching embedding models. lots of potential pitfalls identified.
Absolutely. It's a solid blueprint, and the material definitely hints you can take this much further.
Which brings us to a final thought for you, the listener, to chew on. We just saw an agent built by connecting basically two tools, data lookup and email sending. Imagine what becomes possible if you give an agent access to five tools, or 10. What if it could interact with your calendar, your cloud documents, your project management apps, maybe even other communication tools?
What kinds of complex personal tasks or professional workflows could you start automating then? The possibilities start to feel pretty vast, don't they?
They really do. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.